You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
I am JD from How It Stacks, and I'm here to give you a little bit of foresight into our show.
This is correct.
Professor Willis and I and the Bulldog tend to get a little carried away and excited about our topics, and we can use a little language that might not be suitable for work. So this is a forewarning for all you listeners out there in magical internet land that we do use language like
F
and B
and C
and D.
And what's left?
I don't know, but we use variations of all of those.
Okay.
So for those out there with sensitive ears and listening land, this is a forewarning. We use language on the show.
Bitches.
What's up, everybody? It's JD. The good news is we are now part of the Blog Talk Radio Network, which means you're going to hear some new commercials during our commercial break. Don't fret. Don't worry. Just stick it out, because Blog Talk Radio, pretty cool stuff. But we're glad to be a part of it, and we're glad that they like us. Blog Talk Radio.
Use the sponsors.
You heard the man. What is up, everybody? I am JD.
I'm Willis.
I'm Bulldog.
And this is a brand new, never-before-heard episode of How It Stacks.
Indeed.
As they all are.
Well, yeah. Technically, this is our newest show ever.
It is.
And which, again...
Well,
as,
no.
Yeah, this is technically...
My verbiage is correct.
We recorded Flintstones before Mobicon and released them the other direction. So
really?
That's not always true. It just... 99.99.
Well, regardless, because the statement, this is our newest episode ever, right? Yep. So whenever this episode does come out, it will be our newest episode ever at that point.
Oh, so you're letting the truth be the truth when it releases, not the truth when you record it.
See, okay. It's all perception.
No,
because perception is reality in the adult world.
Okay.
I've learned that. Unfortunately.
You guys are freaking me out, man.
It's a conspiracy. Holy fucking shit, we're recording again. How long has it been? Let's not tell everybody. I don't want them to get depressed.
Longer than it should have been.
It has been longer than it should have been with open... Yeah, whatever.
If you can look at the release dates, just add another like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, like,
something like that.
Unfortunately, like we've talked about this before.
Would you just say unfortunately and fortunately?
Yeah.
It's unfortunately for the listeners, but fortunately for us.
We have been super, super busy.
Oh, yeah.
So like Papaw's Medicine Cabinet, you
Indeed.
Guys are just fucking killing it.
Yeah. It's going well.
Yeah.
It's going very well.
Who are you opening for coming
so
up?
So we've got just announced we're playing the 1065 Music Festival in Mobile, Alabama. We are opening, let's see, we're playing Sunday.
The second.
Is that the second?
Mm-hmm.
It's that weekend.
It's Sunday the second.
Is it Sunday the second? Okay.
October.
So it's us, then the Mulligan Brothers, who, if you've never listened to them, they're fucking amazing.
Touring the world.
Yeah, they're really good. They've opened for...
Mumford.
I think Mumford & Sons and the Avett Brothers.
Yeah. I mean, they're tiny bands, I guess.
Yeah, they do a lot of really cool big stuff.
I think if you open for anybody with a platinum record, that's just a feather in a cap.
Yeah, so. Right? Let's see. After them, it's Wet Willie, which is... if you've never heard them before, they had a couple of hits in the 70s.
Yeah,
I think it was the 70s. Just keep on smiling, baby. You know the one. Anyway, and the guitar player for that band is actually the producer for our upcoming record, which should be out and ready to go. We're aiming for hopefully mid-September. It may be October 1st. But it'll be somewhere in that neighborhood. We're done recording. We're just working on artwork and track listings and things like that. Let's see. I got off topic. So after Wet Willie, the headliner that day is Counting Crows. So we get to play on the same stage as Counting Crows, and that's fucking incredible.
That's really cool.
That's so much fun. I'm super pumped about that. That's really cool. And you know
you're going to get to meet them. I mean, they're going to be like,
well, I don't know. I mean, we're the first band that day, so who knows what time they'll show up?
They'll be there,
you know?
Dude. I mean, it would
be cool.
Fuck yeah,
you know,
be cool.
I would love for them to be hanging out on the wings, you know, watching our set.
Yeah,
that would be really cool. But who knows, man. And like I said, the at those things, those festivals, there's no telling what time somebody will get there, you know, where they had to come from the night before.
Oh, I do, trust you me. Know. Yeah, the film world is very much like, I would imagine, it is exactly the same. So you'll have your actors, like, I'll be there for Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and your day is Wednesday, like Wednesday and a Thursday and a half. And so, like, like your just schedules aren't lining up and shit.
Well, let's see, what else have we got? We're doing the Blueberry Jam, which is out on... I think it's on Weeks Bay here in Baldwin County.
Nice. Yeah, hell yeah.
That's going to be us and McLovin's and CBDB and a bunch of other cool little bands. Little makes it sound bad. They're not little bands. These guys are way more popular than we are.
But whatever. I actually have people that are like, have you heard of Pawpaw's Medicine Cat? I'm like, I know the Gabe.
Yeah. So, see, what else was there? We're doing two TV shows coming up. We're doing Live from Avalon, which is filmed in Mobile and is going to air on Alabama Public Television, I think this fall or next spring or something like that. Then we're also doing Studio Amped, which I think airs on Florida Public Television.
Hell yeah, man.
So both of those are going to be 1 hour whole specials, like, you know, 1 hour solid show. I don't remember what the hell else is going on right now. Fuck. I think we just found a keyboard player. he's a bad man. His name's Jacob Hall. He is a bad, bad man.
Oh, bad.
He is a bad, bad man. He played with us at Callahan's a week or two ago and just knocked it out of the fucking park. Like, it was really, really good. There's a shit ton of stuff going on with my band.
A plethora of shit is happening with Pawpaw's Medicine Cabinet.
You can stay on top of all of that stuff at pawpawsmedicinecabinet.com or pawpawsmusic.com. I think both of those still work.
Facebook.
Facebooks and all that good stuff.
And how it stacks.
Go on our website and download our demo for free. You can do all kinds of shit. So check that out. It's pawpawsmedicinecabinet.com, PAWPAWS.
Oh, and we can finally give another shout out to Modern Ensemble Music for letting us chill here and record again.
Yeah. But of course,
not that was their decision; it was ours.
Bull crap! It was. They're like, "How is Stacks come back and make us look good?" And we're like, "Okay, fine, I guess." Dan,
Dan was like, "You can't record here anymore." And then finally, we got him enough chocolate, and he was like, "Okay."
Exactly. That's how it went down.
Yeah.
Bulldog, how the shit have you been?
That is such a weird way to ask that. I'm doing okay. Busyness wise,
I think
busy.
He wants you to match his intensity.
Yeah. I've been so busy.
There you go.
No. I'm doing okay.
We're gonna get along just okay.
Don't change the words.
Don't change the sentiment. Just the enthusiasm.
Just the intensity.
I have been so mediocre. It is just okay.
Well done.
I've been really busy kicking off photography stuff. So
hell yeah, man.
I was actually just in Destin the other day with Panini Pete, so that was pretty cool.
They make good food.
They have amazing food. They've been in Destin, I think they've been open for like 10 weeks or something, and they're already the automatic answer for Siri of like what's the best burger in Destin. Like, they're the top response.
So really?
Shit, yeah. Ran into a dude who showed up, and they were like, so how'd you hear about us? And he was like, honestly, I just asked Siri like what's the best burger in town, and she was like Panini Pete's, and it was like, sweet,
that is winning.
That's pretty rad. Yeah. So he had he knows a couple people from Lex
way to
and
stay
Terry.
Current, but
yeah. Yeah, right. Good thing that's not from like 2010. So Lex and Terry, the radio show, Pete knows, or yeah, he knows D, who's a like a
I know who D is. He's a kind of foodie. Yeah,
he's been on there since like 2005.
Yeah, he's been on there for a long
D
time.
D has been on there a long fucking time. Dude. He's earned his spot too.
Yeah, he's friends with D. So D and another guy named is it Tyler or Taylor?
Probably Taylor.
I think it's Taylor.
I don't fucking know. Yeah, Tyler was Taint, and I think Taylor.
No, that's him. No.
He's friends with Taint.
It's Taint.
Oh, okay.
Well, so both of them came to Destin, and we recorded a podcast. So I've got to put that.
Cool. Oh, you met Taint and D.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, they're cool dudes.
They're pretty cool dudes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get that when I listen to their awesome nationally syndicated show, but you know, I mean, you know, if they could just like listen to How It Stacks and nationally syndicate our show, Lex and Terry.
Well, I took some photos for them, so I'll just. at the very end.
No, what you, no, what you do is you're like, them, like, here, like,
hey, by the way, you should check out our show.
No, you're doing it wrong. You send them the link to the show, and then, like, oops, that was my mistake. Here's your picture.
That's not transparent at all.
Sorry, that was already on my clipboard. I just
it was copy and paste. Why are you guys talking about us? I don't know. Our fault.
It's like paying for a girl's drink and letting a condom slip out of your wallet.
Yeah.
That's like, it's just... It's just very, very obvious.
So long as we're all on the same page. Like, I'm buying your drink, but...
Yeah. Just want to make sure you know my dick's got a wrapper.
So...
Just letting you know I'm ready.
Yeah. Shit's about to go down. I'm wrapped up and ready to go.
So photography and podcasting, it's been picking up. So I'm excited to work a little more with Deep Fried Studios. We talked about Johnny
them.
At the South Sounds.
Yeah. Johnny's awesome, man. Yeah,
he's
like
cool.
Him.
Good. He's
so
cool
they
dude.
They just moved to a new location at a co-working space, and they have a dedicated.
They have invited
studio.
Howard Stacks to record there. If we
really
do so. Yeah,
that's awesome. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. We're making connections. We're networking on this show.
I like Johnny. Johnny's good people.
He is good people.
And there's a bunch of other good people that are involved in that too.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to next year. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. So we haven't even talked or anything about the Pensacons. We got some really cool news coming up about Pensacon that we'll release.
I'm excited with the guest list.
Fuck Mick Foley and Mick Foley
dude,
by himself.
Herschel.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Well, I'm not excited about Herschel.
Really?
Not at all.
Why the hell are you not excited about Herschel?
I'm just not. He never was like, he was not even remotely
dude,
on my top five
check
character
out,
list.
Man, as an actor, you should be excited
no,
about that
I
guy.
No, I like Herschel. I like the actor. I just never care for the character. So
but it's the actor I'm talking
about. I'm more
about.
Excited
about
know,
Herschel. The character. Yeah, Herschel the character is not going to be there.
I fucking know. He's dead. He got killed. I'm more excited about the guy who played Finch.
Spoilers.
And the guy who plays... Don't even. Like, you know what? I'm so goddamn tired of the spoiler bullshit. It's the fucking internet. Get with it or don't bitch. Anyway, the guy who plays Walter Frey. He's like in Harry Potter. He's the Hogwarts keeper. I'm fucking pumped about that guy. He is from everything I've read. He is like the best interviewee of all time. Because
he's another one with an IMDb page like 8, 9, 10 pages.
Dude,
yeah.
he did a spoof. Like,
that's what I'm excited about. The guy that played Herschel for is all the other shit he's been in.
So there's
fucking
him
in Cold Blood.
Spike is going to be there from Buffy.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They just got a killer guest list, and then they've got a cool announcement. You know that we're gonna talk to them about involving a certain podcast.
Yeah,
you know. So anyway, but yeah, dude, I've been busy too. So I've got a web series coming out.
Sorry. Hey, JD, how have things been with you?
Thank you. You know, it's always awkward because I'm like, hey, how are you? And how are you? As I
well,
point
you were
to
so
you two.
Pumped. I just assumed everything was dandy. And
it's not dandy. My life is falling apart. Shit is crazy. No, things are good. So Convergence is been out now for a while.
And it's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix. Yeah. I've got a movie on Netflix.
All you cheap people who haven't bought it or rented it yet, now just open up your Netflix account
and then skip
it.
To an hour and 28 minutes.
And
see
watch 15 seconds of JD
watch
15 on
15 seconds of me on screen. Convergence is out. The web series is out. The actual web series has gotten stellar reviews.
Cool.
I will have you go ahead and edit that, and you could actually just leave this part where I'm talking about you editing and just take out what I want you to edit. I think that'll be fun. And then we can actually do like a special episode where like, can you name who we threatened? And then, and then like, what happened? So I got the web series. Another web series I did, Long Shots, is coming out very soon. It was we did that actually almost on no budget, but it was really cool. Chris Skoda's in it. Benjamin Graham.
That's the one we
Jeff
got all bloody
Orley.
On. Right?
I got all bloody on it. There's a lot of cool stuff. I was involved in the writing of that series, which was a lot of fun. So that'll be out soon. We just did a table read for a possible upcoming thing.
Yeah. We can call it OIC.
OIC, that's a cool, not orange, whatever, but yeah, what? OIC is a good one. I was thinking, what was I thinking of? Orange is the New Black, it's abbreviated.
OITB.
Is the,
OITNB.
They're close.
Yeah, no.
No, not? Okay, aside from that, so as
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about.
It's table read we did Saturday. Read.
Oh, okay.
Cool. The name of the script is the acronym would be OIC.
Yeah. I've been invited to shoot two film roles coming up. So that's actually just like a buddy of mine's like called me up. It's like, hey, man, I need you. Can you buy these movies for me? I'm like, absolutely. That's coming up. And then a lot of new music. I will plug Blink-182's new album, Gabe. It is that good. Get California, Blink-182's new album. It is that good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's kind of it. My kid starts kindergarten in like August, and I'm emotionally a wreck about that. Like, literally.
I'm so ready.
I am not, dude. I am emotionally a wreck. But with all that stuff said,
it's been a while.
All that stuff.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a beat to
step
to.
It's been a very long time since we started this show.
It's been 10 goddamn minutes.
It's
and
been
I'll be,
15 fucking minutes.
Has it been 15 fucking
almost.
Minutes? It's been 14:20. That's technically... Yeah, you're right. It is almost 15 minutes. And the more that I prolong it, it gets closer to 50 minutes.
Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen,
maybe
boys
we should
and
just
girls.
Talk about what the fuck... Hey, I'll tell you. So let's announce the episode on three.
Okay.
Okay. Wait. So...
Hold on. Are we going on two or are we going on three? Or like, no, are we going on one, two, go?
No. It's on three, but do you want to go like... Like 1 2 3 1 2 3 go. Like,
I want to go on three.
Okay, right, you so want to go on? Be... It's your ass, Coaches.
I'm thinking three, right? We're going on three, right? We're going
yeah,
on three.
Yeah.
Like 1 2 and then we go.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or is it not 1 2 3 well, then go?
Okay, just shut up. 1 2 3. So, if you didn't pick it up from our obscure reference, we are doing Lethal Weapon 1 and 2 today on How It Stacks. I'm pumped.
I'm really higher.
Stop! You don't have to.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, please don't eat the microphone.
I'm really excited about this topic.
Like actually eating
he
the
literally
microphone.
Literally put yeah. the
which impressive wrapped. And telling, by the way,
right?
That you were able to get not only the microphone but the large foam cover in your mouth,
right?
Without touching it.
Am I missing my calling?
Yeah, I know.
I might
right?
be you, missing my calling.
You could make a lot of money in another
no
field, buddy.
Shit!
I'm really surprised you didn't call it the same thing you did earlier.
I basically fit my fist in my mouth. No, Lethal yeah. Weapon 1 and fucking
I'm just
2,
saying,
man.
You're already an actor. If you decided to go that other route, you may be able to make
dude,
some
male
money.
Porn
that's
stars,
all I'm saying.
If you're a male porn star, the only way to make money is to do actual gay porn.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, which
nobody's
is what's
going to pay you to bang female porn stars.
Right? I mean, like we're going to give you a bunch of money. No, to yeah. fuck beautiful women. Not at all, bro. Yeah. Not at all.
God,
you have
no.
to take it in the ass if you want to make a living in porn as a dude. I don't know why I know. That probably cracked.
Probably.
Lethal Weapon 1 and 2. So, when you first pitched the idea of Lethal Weapon 1 and Lethal Weapon series,
yeah.
I was... very excited
yeah.
for a multitude of reasons. A, young Mel Gibson.
A multitude. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Young Mel Gibson was always a hero of mine. Mad Max, Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
Before he, you know.
Yeah.
Did
by,
his thing.
By the way, let's. Oh, never mind. I'll save that for later. Go ahead.
Danny Glover. Yeah. Always have been a fan of Danny Glover because of Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
This series is one of the few rated R films that I actually was able to watch with my parents.
Oh, cool.
And I vividly remember that. I also remember...
vividly remember the first, like, 3 minutes of the movie, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't remember the first 3 minutes of which one.
The first Lethal Weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Is there booty in the first one? Oh, yeah. The topless chick who jumps out the... Yeah. I actually did not, but when it came back on, I was like, oh, boobies.
yeah. Oh,
and
that's
then,
great.
Shit, what was the oh, so we had a copy of Christmas Vacation, which was VHS.
Okay,
which my parents had like apparently recorded over or recorded like had absent like anyway, there was a tracking issue on the VHS cassette, which at about a specific moment in Christmas Vacation, it would clip out to the sequence in it would be the trailer for Lethal Weapon 2. And so it would be like the one where they're like up in the fucking building and they're like, you know, and they're like, no, Riggs, no. And then they fall out the window and crash in the pool.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I get a gun. Hey, I get a gun. No. And then they like, you know, that
Wait, that was in two.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So like I remember two, and then I remember like the hot blonde and like, because it was the fucking trailer and we watched Christmas Vacation.
See, I remember two way better than I remember
me
one.
Me too.
Yeah, like that.
Gary Busey was in one. That fucking threw me for a loop.
Oh yeah.
Crazy son of a bitch.
Oh, you say it like Mel Gibson's not crazy.
Oh, they're both bad shit. They're both bad shit.
So I have a challenge for this episode.
Okay.
And I want to see what you guys think of it. I think we should challenge ourselves not to bring up any reference to our age or any shit that our age might be excluding us from.
That's tough. I need you to clarify a little
like,
bit.
Like, it's, you know, it, like, don't say what you're getting. I can't say that. If you're
trying not to break your own challenge.
I'm trying not to break my own challenge. That's what it is.
He doesn't want us to use.
Don't use the catchphrase.
Don't use Danny Glover's catchphrase.
Yeah. I'm too old. Oh, good. Yeah. Ooh, that was close. Yeah.
Yeah.
He called on and then was like, oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
No bringing up what you may or may not be. Fuck, that's hard. Nothing that your age would exclude you from. There we go.
Okay. I will do my best to understand what the hell that means.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So as a.
The Murtaugh line.
As a being who hadn't been on the earth long.
Yes.
You would
be too young for something.
Exactly.
Indeed.
So as a
something fecal.
Yes, exactly. So as a young person only on this earth for a limited amount of time, having viewed this footage.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
As a young thing. On this earth, not a long time.
Yeah. By the way, this challenge is going to get way harder in the second half of the show.
So I will say that Lethal Weapon 1, as a young thing on the earth, was very exciting.
Yeah.
It was. I don't remember talking about it a lot. You know, at some of the other topics we've talked about. But it was fun. It was cool. It was kick ass. It was very actiony, up tempo. I remember the most as a young thing on the earth, the chemistry between Gibson and Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Phenomenal, man.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. It was great.
Just had a Jim Rome moment there for a minute.
I love those two actors together. It was great.
The thing is, the dialogue in this is like Clerks. Like, it's just quick and snappy.
It's spot the fuck you know? On. Lethal Weapon 2 the same way for me when I was young. When I was a youngling.
See, I remember Lethal Weapon 2 taught me what diplomatic immunity was,
which is some horse shit.
Yeah. So that, like I didn't know. I didn't really know what a diplomat was,
right?
Probably before Lethal Weapon 2, and I was like, wait a minute. Okay, so we can't do shit, really. Like, I think that was the first time I had one of those moments in a movie where I was like, that's fucking bullshit. Yeah. I gotta look into that. Like, I'm gonna figure this out.
He just raped and murdered somebody in front of you, and he claimed diplomatic immunity, and you're cool with that?
Yeah, like, I'm like, I don't know if this holds water. And I was like, holy shit, it does.
Yeah. And then Gabe was like, maybe I should be in politics.
Yeah.
Maybe I should be a diplomat.
I wonder what the UK is doing now.
Right?
I've always wanted to travel the world.
It was, I mean, like,
you can do anything.
It was fucked up. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But now again, I don't really remember a whole lot about these movies. I mean, the first one came out when I was 3 years old.
Yeah, me too.
You know, obviously. So it was a, you know, I wasn't their target demographic for an R-rated movie.
I wasn't,
you know,
eating popcorn going,
yeah, Riggs.
A throwback to the beginning. That's just perception. Until you were of age, then you were their target demographic.
Yeah, true.
So it just wasn't Makes at sense. The time it was released.
Yeah.
He at wasn't some point, old enough.
You became
for that.
The target demographic.
All right.
I mean, what did you point think taken. About it, Bulldog?
At some point, you were hopefully part of their demographics.
So I liked them okay, I guess. I don't remember much about them.
I remember vividly the ends of one.
I remember titties.
lot of titties.
I do. I like. I'm not joking. Like yeah, go. Uh-huh. Like when we went back and watched it, which I'm not getting into second half stuff here. But what I remember, what I distinctly remembered, were the titty scenes. Nice. That and I distinctly remembered the contemplating suicide scene. The gun.
Oh
scene
yeah,
with,
that was
with,
dark.
Yeah, it was dark as fuck. I remembered that one, and I remembered titties, and I remembered diplomatic immunity.
You know
that's
what I,
all
you know,
I got.
So, like, as you're saying all of this, all I can think about is the movie Inside Out, and in your tiny little brain, these core memories are being generated of like tits and suicide.
Yeah.
It's like, joy, 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 sadness.
Yeah.
Joy, joy, joy.
Your joy is like, fuck yes. Yeah. And like a little memory ball pops up.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the nudity. I don't remember the suicide scene or, you know, contemplating suicide.
Yeah.
Do remember.
By the way, real bullet in that gun.
Really?
Yes. Mel Gibson, this is second half stuff, but preview. Mel Gibson put a real bullet in that gun to make him to make his performance more dramatic or whatever. Put a real live bullet in the gun that he used in that scene.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly these days. Like,
probably
like,
not.
You would have to like slip that in and then like lose your money.
Yeah.
Like, oh, by the way, that was a real you're
real gun, live bullet.
Jeez. So I remember the trailer being shot to hell. I remember that with the helicopter scene, right?
Then have two.
We've talked about the other stuff from two.
No. I'm just saying, like, I
got the look like that's two, Jared. That's two. Why are you? We're talking about one.
Both of them.
Yeah. We're talking about both movies, Jared.
The helicopter, and I remember how freaking annoying Joe Pesci is.
Joe Pesci was my hero.
Man,
Lenny Gets or whatever.
I remember. I do remember Joe Pesci, but I've always liked Joe Pesci.
I have too,
movies.
Dude. When I saw him
like,
in this,
even
I was like,
even when I was a kid, he was one of my favorite parts of it.
He was great.
And when I was a kid, he really was.
You talk about nailing a supporting role. Like nailing a supporting role, they're like, we're gonna be back for the next three movies.
You know, he did well. I just remember, I remember that the annoyance of that character because obviously that's.
Yeah. I will say this, like in retro. Well, this is the second half stuff.
It was almost a Fran Drescher level of voice, you know, voice annoyance.
That's not quite
Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah. Right between Fran Drescher and Gilbert Godfrey. Yeah.
What if this was their kid?
Oh jeez.
You know what I mean? Like they got together, had a future kid like Cable and X-Men. He travels back in time to, you know, nothing. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So
I remember mostly two. I don't remember much of one, if anything, from one.
I don't remember a lot from one. I remember the suicide scene, the scene where he jumps off the top of the building with the possible jumper, which that whole sequence needs to be talked about in the second half.
Yes, it does.
I remember that sequence. The suicide scene was very like holy shit. Like, well, you know, like I will say, like if Mel Gibson doesn't get like if he didn't get any kudos for that one scene, that was ridiculous. I do remember the end fight sequence. As an adult, for some ridiculous reasons, but as a youth, I was like, dude, they're just watching them fight. This is awesome. It's on me, bro. It's on me.
Right.
You're just like, okay. I remember Danny Glover's character like living in the same house that had been attacked by terrorists for four movies.
Yeah, right.
I thought that was a little redundant.
I was like, hey, maybe it's time.
Just
to
fucking
burn
move,
down
bro.
In one of them.
Just move,
like,
dude.
I think every possible bad guy in your universe knows where you live.
Like, get
just
the fuck
in
out
case,
of town.
Just
leave. Just
in case
just
he
leave.
Ends up being involved, that's where he lives. Just go ahead and knock it out.
So I remember a lot of that stuff about the first one, more than I actually thought that I did. But I definitely remember more about two.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, now that we're talking about, actually, I remember three now. Wait, yeah, I do remember three now.
I vaguely remember three. Four, I don't have any recollection.
Four, I remember four very vividly.
I'm not sure I watched four as a kid.
Well, you would have been an adolescent or teenager.
Yeah, 2000 or 95, I think is when it came out, but I don't think I ever saw it.
Yeah, you weren't a teenager then.
No, I don't think I ever.
You know, I watched, I've seen all of them before.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen them before. I don't know how long ago it was.
You know, well, four.
And we'll get into three and four when we do our next three episode. Three and four, But, and maybe even five and six.
Are they doing something about five and six?
No, no. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia did five and six.
There is a TV show coming out.
Yeah, have you never seen their whole thing on Lethal Weapon 5, Lethal Weapon 6?
No, but I'm going to watch it tonight after No Man's Sky, and I go to sleep and wake up at 4 a.m. I got a lot to do before 4 a.m.
It was, I think the first one is in season 6. It's in the episode... Sweet D Shaping America's Youth, because I had to look this up last night.
I'll look it up.
But that's when they do all of their reshoots on Lethal Weapon 5, and then in season like 8 or 9, there's an episode called The Gang Shoots Lethal Weapon 6.
Okay, I'll look at it.
Yeah, look those up.
Okay. So, I want to talk about adult shit.
So, consensus, as kids, JD.
I loved it.
You loved it. Gabe?
I liked it, but I don't remember a lot.
Okay.
I mean, it was...
Gabe and I are in the same place thing, because I remember liking 2 from now that I have rewatched them, but I, you know, it was like, that was a fun action movie.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I remember Aliens more, but I remember, you know, like, some of the other ones, but I remember, like, Mad Max and shit like that. I mean, apparently my parents were just like, watch whatever. We'll cover your eyes if we have to.
Yeah.
Love you, Mom and Dad. All right. Are we ready for some commercials?
Yes.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you've forgotten. We do commercials right about now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to How It Stacks. My name's Willis.
I'm Bulldog.
I'm Jay Dizzle.
I'm not the one wearing the headphones, but I can imagine the rapper hand around the microphone is probably not doing you any favors.
He wasn't moving while talking, so we're okay.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's not what I do anymore.
for having done this for the first several years, he did. Yeah.
But he finally caught on.
For having done this for as long as you have, you're surprisingly ignorant about microphone technique.
I still understand. It's the same. Like, I show up on set and I'm like, what do I do? Stand there. Got it.
Yeah. What do I not do? Cup the microphone with both hands.
Yeah.
Don't give me that look.
Yeah, I can give you that look.
Yeah. He's the one with the headphones.
You've earned it.
It's his job to give you that look.
I'm the one looking at the blinking red light going,
you guys remember the days of our hand signals? Do you remember when we did that whole thing?
We still occasionally do.
Usually it's the bird, but you know what. All right, we have a show.
So, yeah, we do. We're talking about Lethal Weapon 1 and Lethal Weapon 2.
As older than we were when we experienced it for the first time.
Yeah. Now we're in the second half where we're talking about like what it's like now.
We can still participate no matter how not young we are.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because if you remember, there's a game in which I don't completely understand, which I can't display how long I've been on this earth.
For having not understood it, you're doing really well.
Yes. Yeah. You're avoiding the line very well.
Fantastic.
So you understand how to play, you just don't understand why. And that's okay, because I don't think
because there's not really a reason why.
There's
right?
most
it's just to keep us from repeating catchphrases all through the show.
Which is mostly what this movie is.
Except,
okay.
So,
shut up!
Oh, does it mean I get a gun?
No.
Lethal Weapon 1, as an older individual, holy shit, where do we start?
Boobies.
Yeah.
Boobies, that was the opening
scene. That's where it started.
Yeah, that's where they started.
Oddly enough, it didn't feel gratuitous. So,
yeah, but were the boobies as spectacular as you remember them being?
Yes.
I can say the same.
Exactly.
I can say the same.
If we were to stack just the boobs.
If it was just the nude scenes, then it would stack fantastic.
As a matter of fact, those boobs stacked. Like, that was a stack of boobs. It was a stackage of the boobs.
Yes. Yes. It was it was
the rack
great.
That stacked.
There, and now we have an episode title.
The rack that stacked. That's a shirt.
That's great.
That's for our female fan. No,
really, I haven't met her.
We
yet.
Still have one.
We apparently. So Lethal Weapon 1, as an adult, didn't feel okay. So my problem with older action films as an adult is they're just over the top and blatantly so. And there's a lot of that
to unlike come, Michael Bay movies,
right? Yeah,
which
are beacons of self-restraint,
right? And have you heard? Did you hear about Megan Fox's casting for the Transformers? Have you heard like any of that, no. that bullshit? So, rumor has it that this may be actually bona fide. I never really give a shit enough to research this, but I think it may have been a cracked article or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. It was just in passing.
It can't have been a cracked article because Gabe hasn't heard about it.
Cracked sources. Yeah, they source their articles.
It was in passing that I read this, but he invited Megan Fox to his house to audition for Transformers. Her audition: wash his car in like a bikini. Wash his Ferrari in like a
That's a pivotal scene in the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, Bumblebee's not gonna bathe himself. Look, okay.
All right. Anyway,
in Michael Bay's version, it's a pivotal scene.
All right. Yeah. I did not think that the chick in the opening sequence of Lethal Weapon was gratuitous. I was like, okay, I'm with it. She's
it's
on high
the
on
Dodge Charger learns to love.
Yeah. She's cocaine and anyway. So yeah, Lethal Weapon 1 as an adult man. As far as like, you know, just nitpicking it apart, like I honestly, I was on board with it until the very end. I was like, this could really take place.
It took me a while to get to where I was like, okay, I'm ready to watch this movie now.
Really?
Yeah. Like I'm surprisingly so. Like it, you know, like it was my suggestion to come up to do this little series of episodes. And I was like, hey, you know, they just added this on Netflix, you know, well, let's do Lethal Weapon. And yeah. It like 2 weeks later, I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch the first one. And like, I wasn't really like actively excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, again, it was just one of those that I didn't have a whole lot of experience with as a kid. You know, I've seen it, you know, at least bits and pieces, but it wasn't anything important to me, you know, from a childhood perspective. And so it took me a while to get around to watching it. And when I did, looking at it with fresh eyes today, it brings up some real, especially with the way the news has been in the last year and a half or so, brings up some fucking disturbing points about police conduct. Like really fucking disturbing shit. You can't make a movie.
It's one.
Yeah.
Which one?
It's Lethal Weapon 1 is the one that brings all this stuff up.
Oh, all of them.
No, they're all bad. The third one, wasn't it? Where he shoots the kid. Is that the sequence we're talking about?
No, I'm talking about rampant throughout all four fucking movies. There's a section in, I think it's 3 or 4, where Riggs plays it off like it's all accidents, but beats the shit out of a film director.
Yeah.
To get Rianne rehired, a guy who had done absolutely nothing except fire this girl for getting his movie shoot fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, and he beats this guy into submission, albeit playing it off the whole time. Like, oh, this is an accident. Oh, you know, here's this. There's another one where I think it's 4 when they get busted down to patrol.
They blow and, up a bill, you know,
and
what
he
do.
Pulls a fucking gun on a citizen for jaywalking.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
See, what else was there? The end of Lethal Weapon 1 where the entire police force is standing in a circle watching another officer beat a suspect to death.
Yeah.
Man, kill him, Riggs! So many.
Oh my god, that's a really interesting perspective.
All
I didn't
of these
think
movies,
about that. Yeah.
And like that's the whole thing. Like I was watching them all, and I was like, Jesus, man! Like I know the whole thing is that Riggs doesn't work by the book, and he gets shit done, and you know all this stuff. But dude, these are goddamn felonies. You know these. Well, this is some
on
really
that same
fucked
token,
up shit.
We made the joke about diplomatic immunity, right?
Oh, and by the way, and before we move on, the scene where he pulled the gun on the guy for jaywalking, openly says, "Dude, let's just do it, man. I'll make it look like a suicide."
Yeah,
verbatim line from the fucking movie.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is like. The diplomatic immunity sequence was exactly what you're talking about, where they're like, oh, they killed fucking kill them all, man. Yeah. And so these two cops just roll up into like a sovereign foreign country territory and just wax.
Yeah.
Brutally murdered. Yeah. A fuck ton of people. Yeah.
They basically declared war on
South Africa.
On that on that country, whichever embassy they invaded.
Yeah. Straight fucking rolls up. Oh, yes. Another part of that, what you're talking about, is when Riggs goes into that guy's, like, his building and shoots out the fish tank.
Right.
Yeah. And they do nothing. They're like, okay. You know, like, all right.
They're saving the fish, actually, is what happened.
They're saving the fish, but they do. Yeah. Like, Riggs walks in there, blows out his fish tank, and nothing. Yeah. And ain't nothing.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, Mo. Meanie. Hey, Mo.
Yeah.
It's a cool scene.
Which, and again, like, the dialogue in it was funny, but it was almost like it had a hard time deciding whether it wanted to be a comedy, an action movie, or in the case of the first one, a crime drama.
Yeah.
Right? Like the first half of Lethal Weapon 1 kind of drags on, and then all of a sudden all of the is this shit legal, or why are we doing this, goes out the window, and it becomes Die Hard.
Yeah.
Right? Like it makes for a weird mix. Like, I don't, the action was done very well. Sometimes I don't feel like the comedy was.
I disagree. I loved the relationship between Mel Gibson.
I'm with you on that.
I think the comedy thing for me became an issue when they introduced Joe Pesci. Not to say that he didn't own it.
See, that's the thing is, I feel like, and after going back and having watched these movies, that the first movie really suffered for a lack of Pesci.
You think so? Like,
I do. I really think that they needed that comic relief to make them, because the whole thing is about them working together against something.
See,
so it worked. The two of them constantly working together against Leo Getz works for me. Like, it makes it funnier to me.
See, I loved,
it's almost like how they team up on Andre in the League.
You
need that character.
I enjoyed the dynamic of the two. I think Pesci was a welcomed addition, but yeah. I think he also took away from a lot of what was going on, because, you know, but I think one thing for me that I noticed as an adult that I never noticed as a kid was the fucking saxophone in the background.
Oh, dude, constantly.
It's
Murtaugh's theme is saxophone, Riggs's theme is guitar.
Yeah.
Okay, so whenever Riggs comes on screen, there's a guitar lick. Whenever Murtaugh comes on screen, there's a saxophone lick.
It was so over the top. Here's, like, I need to get a burrito.
Here's the kicker.
Wow.
That saxophone was David Sanborn, and that guitar was Eric Clapton.
No shit.
Nice. It reminded me of In the Heat of the Night.
Yeah.
Well, it reminded me of like cheesy porno like spoofs where it's like, we're going to fuck,
bow, chick the wow wow. What is it?
Riggs, we need to go stop some stuff. All right, Murtaugh. Bow, chick the wow wow.
Have you guys seen the saxophone guy in the middle of like food courts and stuff on YouTube?
No.
Nuh-uh.
We have to watch that later.
Okay.
He literally he dresses in like, I want to say it's a tank top and like leather pants, with long hair, and plays a saxophone in the middle of like a food court and just doing pelvic thrusts while playing
Kenny G.
Nah, I can't remember the name of the song. We'll look it up later.
But anyway. Yes, the saxophone definitely took me the fuck out of it. Now,
I thought it was great.
I thought it was I was on board with all of the action sequences as, okay, I can realistically see this. Yeah. Until the end of one where they're like, all right, guys, we're gonna settle this, like,
even the surfboard.
Which surfboard part?
The part where the surfboard.
But that's in two, right?
Yeah.
I'm working my way there.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Like, up until one, I mean, I'm on board with it all, right? And then one, they're like, all right, guys, we're going to street fight this shit. I'm in charge. I'm Murtaugh. I got this. Riggs, kick his ass. And then they all, like, surround him while the fucking fire hydrant spewing water. Like, hundreds of people are in their house watching this shit take place. Yeah. They're just fucking duking it out, like, you know. Fight Club style. Okay, cool. All right, I can see that. I get it. You know, the dude whacks some cops. All right, cool. Lethal Weapon 2 comes along, and the surfboard sequence, the one where they're individually icing or killing off the cops. Now, that build-up was kind of cool. The girl jumps on the surfboard, or the diving board blows up, and they're slowly picking off these officers. Where I kind of got...
Yeah, it was very... what's the Star Wars code? for
Order 66.
It's very Order 66.
Oh, it was brutal.
Yeah.
The one where I finally was like, okay, come on, was the one where it became like 80s action, you know, like commando style, was where they went after Riggs. You know, and he's like, he's shooting that like MP5, and he's like going like this. I know you guys can't see, but he's going from left to right.
Are you sure you know they can't see? Because you're still illustrating.
I'm still doing it. Yeah. But he's holding the trigger down, fully auto, like swaying left to right, and just dropping people in droves. You know, it's like, and they're just falling down. And I'm like, okay, and then he takes out a helicopter, and then he takes out like another group of dudes, and he's just
not how this works? Is that not how that works in real life?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's that's what I thought.
It's like that's SEAL Team 6 type shit. Anyway, and that's when for me, like I kind of started getting pulled out of it, was when the action became over the top. Like, I've always been a diehard fan because I felt it was like, as you know, and this is crazy to sound, more realistic, you know, because he ends up just getting his ass kicked, but you know, whatever. Right. Anyway, so yeah, I ended up getting pulled out of it toward the end of Lethal Weapon 2, and then the truck sequence where he's like, you know, ripping that down. Now, I will say the reveal in Lethal Weapon 2 was pretty deep, pretty dark. You know, the one where you find out that it was like that South African hit squad was the one that took out his wife because he was getting close to them.
Right.
Yeah. And then, like, I didn't, when I was younger, I remember being utterly shocked that they killed the girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, and they just, like, left her in his jacket in the water for him to see when he came to. I thought that was just some, like, dark shit. So when I saw that again, I was like, oh. But I will say, I was more concerned about the dog than I was so the hot blonde, you know. So anyway, that's my thoughts on the two films. Still love the back and forth, and then the Pesci edition I thought was great. As far as characters go, I thought he was a phenomenal character.
The performances all around were fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean,
agree.
The acting in it is really pretty stellar. Even though Mel Gibson's Australian accent is fucking atrocious, it's really bad. Like, it turns on and off almost randomly. it's pretty bad, like, to the point where, like, you know, he's supposed to be Australian, right?
I thought he was supposed to be American in this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's just not a common thing. Yeah, no, he's absolutely trying to do an Australian accent.
He's from Australia, so it wouldn't be an accent. Like, that's where he's from.
Is he really?
Yeah. Like, that's why he got cast in Road Warrior.
I don't know. Maybe,
yeah, like, yeah, so he was in Australia. Like, they actually, some of his...
Yeah, I remember that now.
In Mad Max, some of his lines are dubbed because his accent is so thick.
Huh. Yeah. Maybe what it is then is he's doing a bad... Maybe he's not doing a bad Australian accent. Maybe he's doing a bad American accent.
That might be it.
You know, maybe that's what it is, but, not, like, it sounds so weird.
I can hear it now.
Yeah, it's and it really does kind of just come and go all the way through the movie. Apart from that, the acting altogether is pretty stellar.
I loved the
suicide attempt scene incredible. Yeah. It's actually what got Mel Gibson the offer to do the film version of Hamlet. The director from Hamlet saw that scene in this movie and decided that Mel Gibson would be able to do it. Interesting little thing I dug out while I was digging around through, you know, fun facts and trivia and such. Bruce Willis passed on the role of Martin Riggs, and Mel Gibson passed on the role of John McClane.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
Yeah, right.
And both became action stars because of the... Well, you could argue Mad Max, but I think it's easier to say that.
Mad Max did come out before this, right?
I believe so.
I think so.
Yeah, but I think that this was what secured him as an action star.
Yeah.
At least this is what, like, I think everybody... Yeah.
Slight correction. He was actually born in New York, but moved to Australia at 12.
Oh, okay. Just. All right. Yeah. Honestly, when you brought it up, I thought I remembered that he was.
That's
Australian
what I thought. Like, I thought he was full, grew up, raised down there.
Born in Peeksville, New York, and moved with his parents to Sydney when he was 12, according to Wikipedia, which technically could be wrong. But
okay.
Question
for everybody at the table. Which of these two movies, Lethal Weapon or Lethal Weapon 2, has the stronger villain, and which is your favorite fight scene at the end, because they all, one of the hallmarks of this franchise is the big ending fight scene.
I would say I liked the idea of Gary Busey's character.
He wasn't even the big villain.
He was.
By the way, we've got to give the director credit for getting Mel Gibson and Gary Busey that close to each other without just a molten implosion of crazy.
Yeah, I will say that their fight sequence. Now, I've always liked. I mean, and this is, I guess, I don't know. I've always liked the idea of, like, you know, war buddies who kind of, like, after the war, they go their separate ways. And like, you know, Gary Busey's character goes to the dark side. And,
yeah.
And
Gary Busey's character in the first movie is fucking creepy as shit.
Yeah, he's a creepy fucker.
It's Joshua.
Yeah, and then he goes, and then Riggs goes to the light side, and they're, like, one dude's blowing up a hooker's house and, like, murdering innocents to cover the trail. And, you know, like, he goes on to fight Riggs in, like, a pretty evenly matched fisticuffs battle. I was never, like, I was more creeped out by the intelligence and strategy of the Lethal Weapon 2 villains, but I was more creeped out by the brawn and capabilities of the Lethal Weapon 1 villains.
I found myself way more into the plot with, surprisingly, with each movie. Like, the first one, I was kind of, you know, noodling around on my phone and just kind of, you know, it's on. I'm technically watching. You know,
no, it wasn't list worthy, but it was,
it was there, you know, like I did at one point find myself thinking about what I might rather be doing.
Yeah.
But the movie itself, it just didn't grab me. The second one grabbed me a little bit more, third, a little bit more, and so on and so forth. So, plot wise, I thought the first one was the weakest.
Really?
I really do. And I'm going to catch some flack for that because people love the first one because it's the only one that Shane Black wrote. Shane Black was, he was the guy with the glasses, the nerdy guy who keeps telling jokes in Predator.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He was the screenwriter for this movie. And look up the history on his screenwriting for this franchise. It's compelling as fuck.
Well, I tell you, he
wrote a bunch of stuff that wound up. The original cuts for both of these movies were dark as fuck and super goddamn violent. Like, not really that funny. And his script for the first one stayed mostly intact. The second one got chopped up so bad he quit and never touched the franchise again.
Well, I will say, I mean, as far as, like, the story goes, the only one that didn't really make sense to me character-wise was the fourth one. Now, I know what the movie was about, but it didn't, like, I can tell you, okay, this one was about this one, this one about this, but the fourth one, it had Jet Li in it, and that shit was cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I remember the fourth one. The second one, though, I mean,
bear in mind, we do have to do another episode on just 3 and 4.
Oh, so, I know. Saying, that's why I'm not going into detail.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, the second one for me was, like, I remember Pesci. The one thing that I absolutely loved was the dynamic between Mel Gibson's character, Riggs, and Murtaugh's family.
Yeah.
I loved that dynamic. Yeah. Absolutely loved
it. And that's one of the things that, like, I was earlier today, I was actually watching, I watched Siskel and Ebert's original reviews for all four movies.
Nice, good call.
And that's one of the things that they all brought up, especially for these first two movies, is how good the supporting characters were.
Oh, they were phenomenal.
Yeah, all the supporting cast in this was really great.
Yeah.
And but they were I want to think, because there's a running trend. Ebert loves Lethal Weapon. Siskel fucking hates it. And it's interesting hearing him argue about it. But one of the things that they kept bringing up was how good the supporting cast was in this and how they wish they had gotten more screen time.
Yeah. I could totally see that. Now, back to one of your points you made that I thought was phenomenal was the over-the-top police control.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Whenever we talked about it the first half. What was the suicide sequence? Not the gun sequence, but where Briggs jumps off the top of the building.
Okay, yeah. You said you had a point you wanted to make about this.
Yeah, he's handcuffed. Like, Okay, first of all, there's a giant inflatable pillow at the bottom of this guy's jump.
Yeah,
right?
Which comes out of nowhere, by the way. Like, there was never a scene of them establishing
that. Right. I wonder if that's an edit. Like, if there was...
Well, there was a lot of stuff that was cut out.
I'm wondering if, like, maybe the rooftop scene was actually, like, half an hour long. Not in the movie, but in real life, and it had time to set it up.
Well, my thought would be, like, so why not... Like, I wouldn't even worry about it. I'm like, dude, I'd have shot the guy with a beanbag, or, you know what I mean? They have that shit back then.
I mean, you know, they had already... And how does the guy on the ledge not notice that this giant inflatable airbag is being...
Would you not have walked around
moved
or
to
moved
the other exactly. corner, you know?
And then how much of a shit storm would anybody, any officer be in if they handcuffed themselves to a possible suicide victim and then jump off
and
the
then fucking
jumped. Building?
Yeah.
Still handcuffed to the guy. Logistically, someone's getting hurt.
And that's the thing, though, is at the point where the airbag is inflated, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
You know, think jump or don't jump. If anything, you know, you're doing what he did in there, which is controlling the jump.
Yeah.
My question is, where the fuck did this airbag come from? It wasn't there before.
And how did he not just go, I'm just going to walk over here. You guys have fun setting up for 4 hours. I'm going to walk over here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then how terrible of a psychiatrist does that police force have? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously Riggs is certifiably insane.
Yeah.
Legally so. And
well,
like,
she begs him to come and fucking and sit for counseling.
And they just
he
give him,
refuses
like,
to.
Give him a pistol and a badge. And
that's
like,
the
just
thing
have
is,
at it, dog.
Why is it his choice to go and see this
his
therapist?
Choice. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect verbiage.
Why is,
fucking perfect.
Why is that up for discussion?
It's like debate.
Yeah.
And the first sequence we see his character in, he kills like three people.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, one got away.
Like, oops.
Fucking see, you just killed three people.
He's just like, nah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Happens all the time.
Are we not going to bring up the fact that he also like just dipped into the coke before he killed like five people?
Yeah,
he never
did.
Gets addressed.
Yeah,
he did.
Like, I don't know how many people witnessed it, but like,
are you high on blow? Only a little.
I think technically that's allowed. Like as an undercover thing. Now he was not an undercover officer,
right? Because he just whips out his badge and he's like, "That's what I do."
Is that allowed though? Because that can't be safe. Like.
Well, I
don't know protocol
again,
laws
a,
of
I'm
undercover detect cops,
you know,
but
I will say
well,
like,
I'm just gonna say it doesn't.
I mean,
seem...
I would assume they would give you a pass on that as a means of holding your cover. You
I
know,
guess.
Like, then that's a whole another. I want to watch that new Bryan Cranston movie where he's an undercover cop.
Yeah,
there's got to be. I wonder the legitimacy of like just tasting various. Any kind of illegal substances.
Yeah.
Like
you're then trying to perform an arrest while high on cocaine.
Right. But no,
if you just did it to prove that you weren't a cop and then arrested them some other time when you were not on cocaine.
My concern is
that would be okay. But
in this scenario, my concern is not that Riggs would think this logically, but my concern would be safety. Like who's to say it's not laced with something? Like who's to say it's actually, as odd as the statement's going to be, who says it's safe to take?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like what if it's laced with
heroin
or no, it's just like a poison. Like, hey, good luck using that. You're going to die in half an hour. Yeah. So bye.
Oh, another thing that I thought was and this is getting off topic or starting another topic, I guess. I thought it was really awesome that, Lethal Weapon 2 came out in, what was that? 92? Something like that.
Four was
the first one was 87.
No, the first one was earlier than that, man.
I'll look it up.
We'll look it up. You know we gotta,
no, I've got it right here. Yes, yeah, no, 1987.
Oh, okay.
IMDb.
Yeah.
Wow, they did four movies in 8 years.
Yeah,
I guess
that's almost unheard of in sequels. But we've got to move on to stacking very soon. So go
very very
point.
Quick point. I thought it was awesome that in 1992. They made the character Rene Russo played a badass.
Yeah,
they
that
did.
As she is a genuinely strong female character in an action movie in the 90s.
Yep.
That's cool. I'm sorry. Lethal Weapon 4 is 98.
My apologies. Actually, to chime in on that same thread, it 11 was, years. I think it was it Diane Lane and Judge Dredd got kudos for that?
Yeah.
For the same type of reason, being, cool. being a female doing a independently strong woman character, which I loved Russo. I actually did not like Russo in that role, but I loved the way that she did it. Does that make sense?
I thought she did well.
I mean, I
know. I don't know that there's not somebody that maybe could have done it better time, just because I can't I'm not think crazy about Rene Russo. But I thought that the everything I've seen her in, really, she's believable.
It was a positive compliment for that whole franchise, I believe. So so I'll move on. I'll stack first,
which redeems them, I guess, a little bit for all of the homophobia and racist jokes.
Blatant homophobia. I'll stack it. I'll go first. One stacks, two stacks. I didn't think that I would.
Yeah,
I went into it going, I'm not going to stack these. I don't want to stack these. However, at the end of the day, they lived up to what I remembered them, and I had just as much fun with them as an adult.
Yeah.
Aside from some of the issues, you know, that our culture has kind of like oozed its way in, like what we're looking
at. And that's it's a sign of the times.
Exactly. I
will say watching that movie today is a totally different fucking experience from when it came
absolutely,
out.
Absolutely agree. However,
it's a whole different movie now.
I had to pull myself out of that mindset just to make sure, because I didn't want to go into it like, oh, he's, you know, whatever. But I did. I enjoyed it. They both stack. Because I was still I felt my gut turn a little bit at the reveal about his wife and all that stuff, man. So yeah, I enjoy these, and they do stack, and I will probably watch them again. I mean, I don't have any scheduled events for Lethal Weapon viewing
and all that free time you have right now.
Yeah, and all that fucking free time. But yeah, it's not on the list to watch again. But you know, if I'm not going to avoid it.
Yeah, so Lethal Weapon 2 definitely holds up. I'm on the fence about one. Partially because I didn't really have a whole lot of experience with one as a kid. Like, I remember more of two than of the first one. And I will say, going back and watching it now, the first one especially, I kept getting taken aback by little things that have changed just in the world that make the movie less believable.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all of the police brutality and misconduct stuff. There are some pretty just like right out in the open race jokes. There's some pretty, I don't know if it was in the first one, but definitely in some of the later movies, there were a lot of really just tasteless gay jokes that you could get away with because it was the 80s,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so there was a lot of stuff that kept taking me out of it. And man, like I said, I'm on the fence, but because I'm on the fence, I'm going to say the first one doesn't stack.
Okay.
The second one holds up pretty well to what I remember, you know, as just being kind of a fun action movie. And the way they tied it in with the whole South Africa apartheid thing was really cool. Basically, I remember more of two, and I enjoyed two more than one going back and watching it. So one, I'm going to say no. Two, I say yes, but it's a weak yes.
We already established that I'm similar to Gabe. I don't remember the first one much at all. Very little of it. So I'm going to say it stacks because I did, like, I finished it and it wasn't, I didn't do it begrudgingly. So It was a good action movie for an 80s action movie.
There are better ones out there.
But setting aside the obvious problems that you actually went through, I would say it actually stacks up. I mean, it's an action movie. I didn't want to turn it off.
And the action in the movie is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to turn it off. So I'm going to say it stacks.
Yeah.
It's more like your two. Like, it's like a loose stack, but it's there. If you enjoyed it in the 80s, you probably will enjoy it still.
Well, this is one of those movies that if you've ever liked it, you probably still like it.
Yeah. Right. Unless life circumstances get you on the bad side of some of the jokes.
Yeah.
That could get under people's skin. So
I could see that.
You'll probably enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think we have all made that point where, because of the way that our culture is today. Yeah, I mean, it's harder to like the movie completely without being, you know, biased.
Yeah, I just those things aside, you'll probably enjoy it if you liked it then. Two, I mentioned earlier that Joe Pesci was annoying, but it was on purpose. Like, it just, yeah. I remembered how annoying that character is.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Pesci played it so well.
Yeah.
But two is definitely a stack. I mean, I have no problem stacking that one.
Awesome.
I enjoyed it. I'm not going to say I'll watch it again anytime soon because, as we've discussed, we're all super busy.
One part that nobody mentioned was the fact that his daughter did a condom commercial, and that joke went on for the entire. Well,
I think that was
movie.
In. That was the second one. That, it was in the second one
because it was like Leo Getz was like, "Look at that girl! Oh my god, I want to get some condoms." And then like it's his daughter, and he's like,
"Yeah."
Anyway,
The condom tree, that was great.
The condom tree was great. Your glasses,
indeed. On. Yeah.
Stop breaking stuff.
Well, I thought those were mine. That's why I picked them up.
Yeah.
So that's why you're breaking them? Jeez.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
Anyway. So one is technically a loose stack. Two would be a definite stack.
Yeah.
As long as you don't...
Like I said, I enjoyed two overlook more
some
than
of
one.
The, yeah. As long as you can overlook some of the racial and homophobic.
Yeah, and that's the thing stuff. Again, it was in the 80s.
Yeah,
in the 80s.
Different times,
you know,
man.
Look,
cops were doing blow and killing people in the streets.
And on some level, I can even make an argument against myself because I don't hold that against Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. That makes it way more complicated. I'm not gonna.
I
can't retract anything.
Yeah, don't
I can't retract anything. But I don't know. Looney Tunes is different.
Well, it's been a great episode, guys, and a good ride. And we've got two more Lethal Weapons to cover on the next show. But
we've got to
wrap this one.
Indeed.
So that's one, or that's a no for Lethal Weapon 1 for Gabe,
yes.
And a yes for Lethal Weapon 2 for Gabe. I stacked both, and the Bulldog stacked
both
as well. So, all right, then. Good show, good fight, good night.
Okay.
We've got social media stuff. You can find me at The Depew on Twitter, The Depew on Instagram. You can find me on the Facebook. You can also find me on How It Stacks. And the Facebook of How It Stacks. And the iTunes How It Stacks. How It Stacks. How It Stacks. How It Stacks. JD.
Okay.
Willis.
Okay.
Bulldog.